Welcome to episode 110 of the Resale Brothers podcast. I'm Colton.
And I'm Will and Deal West.
On remote today, Will and Deal West is not able to join us in the studio.
No, we just can't get right.
I know, it's missed connections.
Yeah. Angus has got the flu right now. And I haven't been feeling great for a couple of days. I don't think I got the flu.
Uh-huh.
I think it's the cold weather. I just am a tropical person.
Right.
I don't do cold weather.
I hear
you. Every time it gets like this, I get sick. Like, my throat, my chest hurt. just terrible. I'm not built for it.
That's a shame. He was kind enough, though. Me and Steph are going on a Thanksgiving trip this weekend, or all of next week. So he warned me and asked me if I wanted to see him in person or not, and I said, stay away.
Yeah, well, when Moff listens to this on Friday, he's going to be very upset.
Why is that?
Because I wasn't sure how I was going to feel yesterday morning when I woke up.
Uh-huh.
But I was like, I've been off quite a bit lately with Roundtop and everything. I think I'll be okay. And I drove in, and I felt like crap all day. And they're like, you need to go home. Like, you're going to get it sick. And I'm like, man, I'm already. And I don't have a fever or anything, you know?
Right.
So, but, you know, I went to work yesterday at the fire department, and all of them were not happy with me. Like, we're all going to get sick, and it's going to be your fault. So now what he hears is that I didn't come in and do the podcast with you. He's like, oh, you care about your brother. You don't care about us.
To be fair, I mean, you've been sick multiple times when we podcast. I'm just being extra cautious.
Yeah.
It was more of my decision than it was yours.
See, there you go, Moff. When you hear that, it was Colton's call. You should have called me and said, don't come into work the day before. And then I wouldn't have come in.
Exactly. No, Mom was sick this past week, too. And, yeah, it's going around. Stephanie's nephews, I think, are sick, too.
Everybody's sick right now. It's crazy.
I am going to go out into the wilderness and get away from all y'all.
That is very smart. So y'all are leaving tomorrow, right?
I think we're pushing it back to Friday because we are not ready.
Okay. Yeah, y'all are doing some camping, so you got a lot of packing to do.
Yeah, we got a ton of packing to do. We have like a little cabin for the 3 days we're in Big Bend, but it's basically just like a shed. There's no electricity or heat or anything. There is a composting toilet, so.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. So we got to get all of our cold weather gear ready because I think the high is 50 and the low is like either high 20s or low 30s, so we gotta prepare.
Night times are gonna be rough out there.
You bet. We went on a shopping spree on REI last week and bought sleeping bags, and then got home and realized I bought a women's sleeping bag, so I tried to get in it. Didn't work out.
Well, unless you bought one for a women's WNBA player, probably not going to work for you.
Well, we figured out I did actually buy like the tall women's version, but it was still like 2 inches too short.
Yeah, what are you, 6'4"?
6'3" or 6'4", depending on the day.
Sometimes you shrink.
Mm-hmm, exactly. All right, well, let's get into some resale stuff. You sourced this weekend.
I did, yeah. I got to go out into the wild. I actually beat you.
Yeah.
Me and Jenna had to, of course, drop the kids off at school.
Right.
And then go to LaGrange. But I had to drive this old beat-up Chevrolet pickup, which you know about.
Uh-huh.
Because I was dropping it off later that day. It just made sense for me to take it on the trip.
Right.
So I left early, and I beat Jenna by maybe 3 minutes, 5 minutes at the most.
Uh-huh.
She was like 10 people behind me. And you and Stephanie forgot what day it was.
Yeah, we got there super late. I think we got there at like 8:30, 8:40. We didn't even get a number. They ran out of numbers before they got to us.
But, I mean, you still got there before 9.
Right.
So, really, it's just a matter of being... Normally, we're like number 40 or something.
Mm-hmm.
You're probably like number 100 something.
Yeah, I don't know. I think they have 100 numbers. So I was probably, they were like four people in front of me got numbers. So I think I was 105 or something.
You probably walk in the store like 3 minutes after me.
Right, yeah. No,
which isn't that big to do.
And on days where you go, my plans are different anyway. So it all worked out. It worked out just fine.
Yeah. I thought it was good. LaGrange wasn't as good as it normally is to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I did notice that actually the guy and the girl right in front of me, they were a little bit younger than me, but I could tell who they, you know, I could tell they were resellers.
Uh-huh.
And I walked in right behind him. He starts heading toward the men's clothes. I'm like, no. And I go to the jackets first, and he goes to the jackets. Like, we were just kind of split everything. And then we went to the men's clothes, and I saw which side he was on, so I went to the opposite side.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, it wasn't as good as normal, but y'all didn't go to Smithfield. Me and Jenna went to Smithfield.
Yeah.
And I did better in Smithfield than I did in LaGrange.
Really?
Which is kind of crazy. But Jenna did great at LaGrange.
Uh-huh.
She did okay at Smithfield, but she killed it with Christmas items for the antique mall.
Yeah.
Like, she had so much stuff. She spent way more than I did, but it's all good. Like, all good stuff to sell for the holidays, which I'm not good at that anyway, you know?
Yeah, me neither. That's been the best part of having Stephanie go is I've had a lot more women's clothes, like the Rough Riders and the Rocky Mountains and stuff. I've had a lot more of those now because somebody actually looks through the women's clothes now.
Yep.
It's a team effort, ladies and gentlemen.
That's right. So we're
recapping 2 weeks here, kind of, because we didn't really talk about much on the episode with Nanny Meg. So do you want me to go into mine, or you got some more to talk about for your weekend?
I mean, that's pretty much all because the weekend before I didn't get to go sourcing. So really that was my big sourcing day. I did have one story, but it's going to be a lot longer segment.
Okay.
So other than LaGrange and Smithfield, I went and dropped off that old junky truck and came home. So
yeah. How did that go?
Well, it was fine. I mean, I never knew how much gas I had.
The gauge just broke.
So I just was on a hope and a prayer, like I'm going to drive it to LaGrange, then I'm going to drive it to Smithfield, and then I had to deliver it in Bastrop.
Right.
And I made it. Susan wasn't there. She's in the hospital. She's fine. But she was going to pay me. But I was like, look, I'm just going to drop off the truck. I'm already driving it. Right. I don't want to drive it back home. I don't know how much gas it's got.
Yeah.
So I just dropped it off, left the key, and she could pay me whenever. It's no big deal.
Goodness. Now, when we picked up that truck, I followed Wesley home, and we were on a highway where the speed limit is 70, and I think we went 50 or 55 the whole way back, and there was some mad people behind me.
It wasn't the truck I was worried about. It was the truck hauling the trailer with no pin and to lock the trailer onto the ball of the truck.
Yeah, what did we end up using? What did we find?
I ended up using like a piece of like keychain, the rounded piece.
Yeah.
Used that, and I used a bunch of zip ties. And it was all still there when I took the trailer off the other day. But if it would have come loose, it probably would have all broke, you know?
Right. Yeah. No,
that's why we were going so slow.
Yeah, I kept a safe distance in case I saw a trailer heading back towards me.
Yeah, we didn't have trailer lights either, so yeah, we needed to go 55 or 50 or whatever.
Yeah, we made it safely. The mission was accomplished. Nobody was harmed.
Yep.
We did our job.
That's right. You know what's really cool about the way I'm doing this right now is I know how long we've been doing the podcast. I'm sitting in my car because, you know, I don't get good service out here.
Right.
So I normally would just call you standing outside, but it's cold and I don't want to breathe in all the cold air. So I got my heater running and you're on the Bluetooth so I can see how long the phone call's been going.
Oh, that's a perfect setup.
Yeah, I'm just chilling in the car. Got my heated seat going and everything.
Dang, living the life. That's a better setup than what we got in the podcast room.
Yeah.
Start podcasting in the car.
Car fit. Exactly.
That sounds like a great plan. All right. So to recap, I went to Rosebud 2 weeks ago, the day of 100 garage sales. It was all right. There was one sale that I did really, really good at, and that kind of made the whole day. Otherwise, I don't think it would have been worth it had I not found this one sale. This one sale was some people that do storage locker cleanouts or buyouts or whatever, and they had like three sheds full of stuff. They opened up the first one, and as stuff sold, they were pulling more stuff out and refilling it, and it was $10, and you fill a trash bag. And last week, that Supreme jacket that I showed, that's where I got that. Today, there will be some more stuff in my finds from there. Basically, that one sale made my whole weekend. It was better than LaGrange. It was better than any of the other stops at Rosebud that day. So that made it worth it. Otherwise, it was just madness. I mean, I drove through Rosebud, what's today? Monday, on our way back from Waco. And there's nobody there. I mean, like, literally, there's one stoplight, and it's a four-way stop. Most of the time, you just sit there, and you keep going, because there's nobody else at the other sides of the intersection. But on that day...
Kind of like Round Tap.
Right.
When the show's not going on, there's, like, 600 people there in the whole town.
Yeah. No, I think Rosebud is probably even smaller than Round Top. There's just not many people there. But on the day of 100 garage sales, there's vendors downtown, there's food trailers, there's people walking everywhere, they got roads shut down. And I knew it was kind of becoming a big deal, but I didn't know it was that big of a deal. Especially all the way, I mean, it's out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, I had no idea. I've never been.
I would say it's worth going for the experience, and if you find a good sale, like the one I found, it's worth it, but the main attractions, the stuff downtown. I mean, I got myself a pair of Brooks shoes for like $60, which is a great deal for me, but to resell, not a great deal.
Right. It's a little more commercial down there. It's not really garage sales.
Right. Yeah. The town itself, like around town, people were having their own personal garage sales, but the downtown stuff that I guess the city puts on, it's like there was a booth that sold counterfeit jerseys. There was the booth that had brand new Carhartt, Levi's, Brooks stuff. There was a lot of plants. Jenna probably would have loved it.
They're probably overpriced plants, though.
Yeah, I didn't ask about any of the prices on the plants. But that one sale made it worth it. Otherwise, I don't know if I would go back next year. I mean, I probably would, just because you never know, but
You just might get lucky and find the right sale.
Exactly. And the $10 bag sale, I wish I would have. Basically, they were saying, like, come back later today, we'll have more stuff. But I didn't end up going back, so I probably should have. And then this past weekend, went to LaGrange with you. We already talked about that. It was me and Stephanie's six-month anniversary, so we went to Waco, went to the zoo, saw a concert at Common Grounds, ate at Texas Roadhouse and Cracker Barrel, and sat in a hot tub.
That sounds like fun.
It was a great time. Lovely, lovely time.
And now y'all are going on, I mean, y'all are just tripping it up.
Yeah, I know. We've been anticipating these 2 weeks for basically the past 6 months. We've had these trips planned for a long time, so it's finally happening, and I got a lot to talk about preparing for it. And then when we get back, we'll see if it all went successfully.
Yeah, I'm curious to see if y'all end up having time to thrift on the journeys.
Yeah, it's kind of looking like that's probably not going to happen.
Yeah, it never works out the way, like, every trip I've ever made, I'm like, we're going to thrift all the way back, or we're going to thrift while we're there, and you might squeeze in just a little bit because it's vacation, you know?
Right. Like, well, I mean, the first weekend of our trip will be in Big Bend, so we're definitely not thrifting there because there's just nothing out there.
Right.
When we get to her family's in Arizona, there's probably a chance we'll thrift there because we're going to be there 3 or 4 days. So I'm sure we'll have some downtime there. On the way back, I'm betting that we're probably going to be trying to get home pretty quickly.
Yeah.
But we'll see. I'm crossing my fingers.
Yeah.
You got anything you want to talk about?
So I did, I guess it wasn't this past weekend. It was the weekend before that. I said I didn't source, and that's kind of true.
Uh-huh.
But I did go to an estate sale.
Okay.
And I went to this estate sale because a friend of mine had come to me, and he's like, hey, they got this motorcycle.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah. And he's like, well, I want it. And he's like, what do I do? And I'm like, well, you need to get there. Like, the sale opens at 9.
Right.
And we were getting off work at the fire department, and we were in Cedar Park. We get off at 7:30.
Uh-huh.
It opened at 9, and it was in Georgetown. So it was like 30 minutes away.
Right.
And I was like, you need to go. And he's like, are you going to help me? I was like, I can't help you get it. You know? I said, but what you need to do, I called, Fintique was running the sale, which is Michael and Louisa.
Right.
And I called Michael, and I was like, hey, what are the odds of somebody showing up now and getting that bike? He's like, I don't know. Probably not good. There's been a ton of people interested in it already calling me.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, well, do you have the title? Whatever. So I wasn't planning on going to the estate sale. But I ended up going just because I was curious at this point, like how many people would be there.
Right.
So I got there and my buddy wasn't there yet. So I was like, I'm going to hold a spot in line.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like number 6 in line.
Right.
And I didn't ask anybody what they were there for ahead of me, but I assumed they were there for the motorcycle.
Yeah.
Anyway, long story short, we didn't get the motorcycle. The guy that got it was first in line, and he had been there for like 3 hours already.
Goodness.
You know? But something very interesting happened while I was there, just listening to the people in line.
Okay.
And so I'm going to do a little segment called Estate Sales for Beginners.
Estate Sales for Beginners. Okay, I was going to give you some theme music, but the moment has passed.
The moment has passed. So the interesting part about this sale, normally estate sales that I've gone to, usually there's a lot of people in line when I get there.
Right.
And I can tell these are seasoned estate sale people.
Right.
This sale was different because other than the motorcycle, like, it was a dude's estate sale. Like, it was probably a single guy that owned the home.
Uh-huh.
And it was stuff I thought was, you know, could be cool and interesting. But it was very one-sided. Like, you weren't gonna get a lot of families or women
right
showing up at this estate sale. So there's probably like 12 dudes in line when this thing opened.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not sure that the majority of them had ever been to an estate sale.
Mm.
So I heard some questions that made me think about doing this topic. And also when we spoke to Nanny Meg Risa last week, she said she'd been to like one estate sale ever, you know?
Yeah, that blows my mind.
And it's crazy because I love estate sales.
Uh-huh.
But I think you can get turned off of estate sales really easily. And that's kind of why I put this together.
Okay.
So, estate sales. Obviously, if you don't know what they are, it's usually somebody who's moving, somebody who's passed away, and somebody's in control of that estate. And they want to get rid of everything, usually so they can sell the property.
Right.
For the most part. I mean, it's not always that's the case, but that's normally the gist of it. The best place I find to find estate sales is on a website called estatesales.net.
There's an app as well.
There's an app. I don't use the app. I just use the website. But basically on there, you put in your zip code. And it's going to show you every upcoming, not every, but the majority of upcoming estate sales in your area.
Mm-hmm.
And then just outside of your area, and it gives you dates. Now, it's not going to give you the address
right
of the estate. It's going to give you the city. So if you're in Austin or a big city like, say, Nanny Meg in Detroit, it may say it's in Detroit. Well, that's a big city. Right. You don't know how close to you or whatever. Where we live, if it's in Lexington, if it's in Taylor, it's a smaller town.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's going to be, if it's in Lexington, it's probably 10 minutes from me.
Yeah.
If it's in Taylor, I know it's 30 minutes from me, no matter where it is in the city.
Right.
But they won't give you the address till usually, what is it, like 12 hours before the sale starts?
I think each listing you can choose. Most of the time, it's like day of, so like the morning of or the night before or something like that.
Yeah, it's sometimes like a certain amount of hours, but if you're concerned about that, that's why. It's like they don't want people driving up there, for one, probably knowing what's in the home.
Right.
And two, probably because they're setting up the estate, so they want people showing up messing with them the whole time they're setting up.
Yeah, I'm sure. So, that's probably even more so than fear of people breaking in and stealing stuff is just not being annoyed by people like, can I come? I want this one thing that I saw in the pictures. Can I come by right now?
Right, exactly. So the address will not be available to you until very shortly before the sale.
Right.
Also, as to what you just said, people are like, I just want this one item or whatever. It's not really the way estate sales work. Like, mm-hmm. as far as pricing, too, like, there's, you can't be like, hey, I want this item. How much is it? For the most part, they're not going to tell you. They don't list prices.
Right.
On the items. It's, you got to show up. You have to find that item, and then you look at the price. That's mm-hmm. just the way. If you knew the prices to everything, I think it would be detrimental to the company that's doing the estate sale and the person that hired them, because you may or may not even show up based on what the price is or something.
Oh, yeah. There's plenty of estate sales that I would not have gone to had I known the prices on this, on some of the stuff.
I'm with you. I'm absolutely with you. And, you know, they also, they don't accept offers. I think a lot of people think that's the case. Like, mm-hmm. I heard that standing in line, like, I wonder what the price is of that motorcycle. You think they'll take less? And in my head, I'm like, they're not accepting offers.
Right.
That's not how estate work.
Yeah.
And the reason that is, for one, they're in a contractual agreement with the customer that, mm-hmm. that hired them.
Right.
And for them to take offers would kind of be screwing over the person that hired them.
Yeah.
And also, I think the idea is it's estate sales aren't necessarily for resellers.
Mm-hmm.
Estate sales are to sell the things that that person has and make them the most money possible they can make them.
Right.
And, resellers, it can work perfectly if resellers know how to do it. And you see resellers all the time at estate sales.
Yeah.
But if you got to find that spot, you know, that works for you. But I think the reason, like, you know, I had people in line complaining, like, this is Bentique. Those are those people from Taylor, and their prices are, you know, they're like at retail. And in my head, I'm thinking, like, you know, I know where their prices are. They're based on comps.
Right.
And usually they're a little below comps,
mm-hmm.
which I think is perfectly fine because it's basically like people can complain about that all they want, but day one, you're paying 100% of that cost.
Right.
Day two, normally for a normal resale or estate sale company, usually day two is 25% off.
Mm-hmm.
And then normally day three is 50% off. Right. So if you're already just a little below comps on day three, you're like 70% off.
Right.
You know what I mean? Off yeah. of comps. So if stuff's left, good stuff's left at that point, which is very possible. I've been to the state sales on 50% off day and found some cool stuff, you know?
Oh yeah.
So I think people need to realize that, like, it's not necessarily for the reseller, but it can work for a reseller.
Mm-hmm.
And estate sale companies should be charging close to comps because people aren't, they're buying it to resell. Half the time you got people there like, I want a microwave.
Yeah.
For, you know, that's normally $100. I'm getting it for 75 or 60 or yeah. whatever, you know.
Well, so I think a lot of it too is like, especially estate sales is where you can find a lot of furniture if you're looking for furniture. Like garage sales, definitely. There's usually not much furniture at garage sales. Thrift stores, there's some, but not. This is like, oh, I want a whole bedroom suit that matches. This house has one.
Yeah. Yeah, you can definitely do furniture.
And it's going to be like, yeah, it's going to be expensive, but it's not going to be like going to, you know, a furniture store and buying it. And it's going to be stuff that you probably can't find anymore.
That's true. Yeah, absolutely. So the only other thing I heard in line was, because, I mean, I threw pretty much everything in there, but there was a bunch of people standing out there, and it was starting to rain, and it was cold. And they're like, they really did mean 9 o'clock. Like, we're all here. Why don't they just let us in? And I'm kind of thinking in my head, like, they're contractually obligated. Like, if you're a legit estate sale company, like, you set the time just like a store would set their time.
Right.
Just because somebody's standing outside of JCPenney's 30 minutes before they open, they're not going to let them in.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So, well, I mean,
most of the time, too, like, these estate sale companies have a date that they're allowed to be in the house to start setting everything up. So most of the time, they're still working until the time they open the door to try and get everything priced and set up.
Yeah, and I mean, if usually they open in the morning, let's say 8 or 9 a.m., and they may, you know, they have to get up pretty early to get the signs put out and show up and get their register set up or their credit card machines and all that. So, like you say, yeah, they are working when they get there, and they can't just let you in if they're not ready, you know. So that is something most people, I don't know, because like a garage sale, you can show up early and half the time they're just like, come on in, you know, or go ahead and start shopping. But estate sales are different in that way, and I didn't realize people didn't know that, but I did hear that, and I was like, okay, another thing to throw in here.
Yeah, it's wild to me, and I mean, I guess it's probably from having our mother, but there's never been, I can't remember any of those thoughts in my head when going to an estate sale, like for the first time, but I also can't remember the first estate sale I ever went to, so maybe I did have those thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, there's probably a few of these things that I probably wasn't sure about, but I think just going and not complaining or not saying anything and just seeing how it went.
Right.
And once you've gone to one or two, actually, I remember the first one I ever did go to was with Mom and Vicky, and Tanya was running it out here in Rockdale.
Okay.
And there was this train set, and I think it might have been on day two.
Uh-huh.
This place was insane, like hoarder packed, you know, and there was a train set, and I can't remember what it was priced at, but I remember asking Mom or Vicky, who had been there the day before, and I was like, hey, do you think she'll take this? And they're like, I don't know, just go ask her.
Uh-huh.
And I asked her, like, hey, will you take 20 for this instead of maybe it was going to be like 30? And she's like, absolutely not. And I was like, oh. And she wasn't very nice about it, but I didn't know that wasn't a legit thing to ask an estate sale person, you know? And she's probably like, no, are you an idiot? Like, it's already 25% off today. Why would I take less than that, you know?
Right, right.
So I think that's, some people could get turned off by estate sales for any reason, any one of the reasons I listed. But if you know what's going on, and I thought maybe that's why it was a good thing to talk about, like, just so you kind of have a basis to know, like, this is how it works, you know, so you don't make those mistakes or don't fall into not liking it because of what it actually is, you know.
All of these rules apply to most estate sales. There are the few estate sales that you'll see like in the newspaper or something that are run by individuals, and they might go a little differently. But for the most part, especially if it's run by a company, there's a set of rules and a contract, and things usually run about the same at every one of them.
Right. So my suggestions, if you do see those that are run by an individual, or it'll say like a, what does it say, like a third party or...
A family-run estate sale.
Right, something like that. I always prefer to check those out because a lot of times they're not basing it on comps. They're running it more like a garage sale.
Right.
And not always. Sometimes they're very attached to the items because that was their mom's stuff, you know.
Uh-huh.
So those are hit and miss, but you can do really well at some of those. But like we said, most of them are run by companies. And once you're in an area and you estate sell enough, you're going to learn which companies, like, it'll show you who's running that estate sale. Mm-hmm. And you're going to learn which companies that you enjoy to buy from, or you like their prices, or
right,
whatever it may be. So that's kind of, there's certain ones, if I see this company's running it, I'm probably not going to show up, you know?
Yeah.
Because I know their prices are going to be insane, right, or, you know, like that.
Yeah. No, it's all about doing your research. And I mean, pretty much you just, if you've never been to an estate sale and you're trying to get into it, you just got to go. And then you'll start figuring out like, oh, when these people run it, prices are too high, I can't make money. When these people run it, they're really cheap, etc. So it's just, you know, get out there and figure it out.
Yeah. And try the first day, try the second day, try the third day when it's 50% off, all that good stuff. But the thing I think is most important, like for me, you got to find the sweet spot. Uh-huh. Find something you know about that you're very knowledgeable about, because if you look at the pictures when they post all the pictures and you see the motorcycle, okay, if they're highlighting that as something in the home, they're going to be pricing it,
mm-hmm,
at probably at comps or not, maybe not more. But if you know, like me, vintage clothing,
yeah,
or you know, sports stuff, or like you, records and music equipment. For me, like the clothing at, you know, that at estate sales, that's usually a sweet spot for us,
because yeah,
they don't want to go through and price every shirt. They don't want to go through and price every hat. So they're going to be like, shirts, $3 a piece, $2 a piece, whatever. So you got to find your niche and find what works for you at estate sales. And, you know, that's not always everything we buy, but it does help to have those sweet spots, I think.
Yeah, no, that's that. Yeah, clothing is especially good at estate sales. There, every once in a while, you'll find one where they've gone through, and especially if they know like the owner had nice clothes, they'll go through and price everything. Most estate sales I go to, especially like vintage shirts, they're $1 a piece. Yep.
Oh yeah, great.
So I'm gonna need you to fill some air for about like 2 minutes. I gotta find a phone charger.
Okay, well, cool, because I have one more thing that is another tip, trick at estate sales. So
okay, I'll be right
back. Okay, go ahead. I've done this multiple times, and I've seen other people do this, and the idea is kind of like, you know, when people have the garage sales, and when a garage sale's over, you see people driving around like, hey, I'll take everything for this amount of money. It works the same way at estate sales, and I've done this multiple times. And sometimes it works out really well where you don't even have to pay for it. But buyouts and cleanouts, and Colton's done a couple of these with me. I've done multiple of these. But a lot of times these people, like I said, they want everything out of this house so they can sell it. A lot of times you can go into an estate sale, you know, call it day two, day three, day one, whatever, and you can give the company your phone number and say, hey, look, like, this is what I do. When this estate sale's over and you still have a bunch of stuff, I'll come make you an offer. And some have done it by, I'll come make you an offer on this room or this room or this room.
Right.
Some of it's like, I'll make you an offer on everything in the house,
yeah,
and we'll take everything out of the house. And a lot of times you can get really good deals. We've done buyouts for, what, like $200, $300?
I mean, one of them, I think the very first one we did, I mean, it was a friend of a family member, but I think it was free. It was just as long as we got everything out of the house.
Right, and that's what I said earlier. Like, that, some of them have turned out to be free.
Yeah.
And I like to call those clean outs instead of buyouts.
Right, but, right.
But yeah, like, I know we did the one in Elgin, that old house with all the sports stuff. Was that one? That one was free or no? I feel like I gave him something.
Yeah,
it wasn't,
I think you
much.
Gave him like $100 or something.
Yeah, but I mean, it was so much stuff, and it was good stuff.
Yeah.
And so that's just another option, you know, like if you're not into the estate sales due to the price of things, give them your number, give them your name, and it's that easy. Like, a lot of times they may have companies they already know,
mm-hmm,
but a lot of them, you know, like, it's kind of fair game. You can just go up, give them your phone number, be like, hey, I'm interested in buying this place out when you are done, They may call you, they may not, but it's worth a shot. And those are fun because you don't realize what's all still at the estate sale till you start packing it and unpacking it.
Right.
It's like, oh, man, nobody even found this. Neither did I. I've sold a $900-something pair of hearing aids that were left at an estate sale that nobody realized were there, you know?
Well, and I think so, the sports one, well, there was a whole nother room of magazines that they didn't even have out for the sale.
Yeah, I ended up buying those from him for like $20.
Right.
And I probably made $500 off that lot.
Yeah. No, I mean, there's just always stuff that they're not going to either have time to price or they don't think is going to sell. And they don't know that on eBay you can sell anything.
Yeah. And sometimes stuff's so piled up in there that people just don't find it, you
right,
know?
Right.
So just another option for the the beginner estate sale person. So try to give it a shot. I don't know.
Beautiful.
If you don't want to, don't do it.
I think that was some great information for a first-time estate sale goer. Lots of information that I would have liked to have known the first time I went to estate sale. I think the first estate sale I went to, though, that I went to on my own anyway, was the one where I got the Levi's hats. So I think my first experience went pretty well.
It did, and that one was a great estate sale.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, that's probably another thing to mention, too. Like, the country, smaller town areas, I've had better luck with. I've gone into Austin and thinking that, oh, go to the rich areas and they're going to have nicer stuff. They do, but the prices are super high.
Yeah, they have nicer stuff and they price it accordingly.
I'm not a fan of those. So I've been to some in Austin and I'm like, this is ridiculous. Like, the prices are insane. And people were buying like crazy, but I'm talking like very rich areas. They got money too.
Right, yeah.
the shoppers, you know, so I prefer going out in the country and not saying like these people don't know what they got, but they don't want to offer their stuff. Like, they just want it gone.
And I think they know they have a smaller audience that's going to come out all the way to their house in the middle of nowhere. So they just want to price it cheap so they can get rid of it.
Right. Because, I mean, if you look at Lexington as a whole, we're not a rich area. And if there's an estate sale here and you got everything overpriced, nobody's going to buy anything.
Right.
Because there's a lot of lower class, middle class here, and they're looking for garage sale prices. So if it ain't that, you ain't selling it.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Yeah. No, so, I think that's, I mean, kind of the tip for everything. Garage sales, thrift stores, estate sales. If you can get out of the big city, you'll find some different stuff that you won't find in the city, and B, it's probably going to be cheaper.
Yeah.
And less picked over.
Yep. So, less resellers out here too in the country.
Exactly. That's why we live in Lexington, ladies and gentlemen. All right. So, a little bit, I got a couple notes here. First, Do you remember me talking about the new eBay international shipping?
Yes.
So I got the message yesterday that they're enrolling me in it. So I will give y'all some updates as soon as I get some international sales through the new program. Apparently, anything I list going forward will have this new shipping, and I'll have to go through and bulk edit. Anything that had the global shipping program on it will be transferred over, but anything that had like standard delivery, I'll have to go back and edit, which I could never figure out. Sometimes when I listed stuff, global shipping wasn't available and I had to use standard delivery. So I don't know what the deal with that is.
Okay.
So we'll see. I'll bring some updates as they come in. And then the last thing is, in preparation for our trip and in preparation for kind of transitioning the eBay store, we're going to be doing a lot more clothing, a lot more Poshmark. I ran a huge sale on my store. I think I sent out like 300 offers. And when we got back from our weekend trip, we had 53 orders to pack.
Nice.
It was insane. We had 4 Rubbermaid tubs and 1 IKEA bag full of packages.
Ooh-wee.
It was a good time, let me tell you.
Sounds like it.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
I Stephanie dropped him off at the post office, so unfortunately I didn't get to see Wanda's reaction to four Rubbermaid tubs being dropped off at the post office, but I'll have to ask Stephanie how she reacted.
Were any of those sales on Poshmark?
No, they were not. I have, I can't talk about it yet. It's in a segment later. We'll get to it.
Okay, well then maybe I'll save my thoughts about Poshmark, because after our talk with Nanny Meg Riso, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to give it a shot. So I started Poshmark and I listed 10 items. And when we talk about that later on, I will tell you what I think about it.
All right. That sounds good. From the way you're talking about it, you're probably going to have the same feelings I'm having right now.
I think so.
All right. We shall see. Let's see, what else do I got on? I think that, I'm about to put my eBay store on vacation mode for the first time ever.
Oh, man, it's a little rough.
Yeah.
But you may have just upped your algorithm so much that maybe it doesn't affect it.
Also, I'm getting a bunch of listings ready to take with us on the road. So, like, I'm taking pictures of everything, weighing a bunch of stuff. That way, if we have any downtime while we're there, we can list while we're there. So maybe that'll keep the algorithm going.
Yeah, sounds like a good idea.
Well, it's kind of going to be like the thrifting along the way, though. We'll see if it actually happens or not.
Yeah, you got to at least hit one just so you can say you did it.
Exactly, exactly. Well, that's all I got in my notes before we get to segments. You got anything else?
Nah, let's get into some segments.
All right, whenever I played the intro, could you hear it through the phone?
Yeah, it wasn't like perfect, but I can hear it.
All right, perfect.
So I should be able to hear all this.
Okay. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it is time for the
It's the fine of the week. It's the fine of the week. It's the fine of the week. It's the fine.
It's the find of the week. Just tell us what you found.
So I guess I'm going to have to be extra descriptive today since you can't see my finds.
You are.
The first thing is a Denon. I can't even read the model number. It's a remote for a Denon AV unit. I got this at the $10 bag sale in Rosebud, and I'm pretty sure I got 10 items there. So I paid $1 a piece, and this remote sells for about $60.
Not bad.
And that's another good tip too. There was a drawer full of remotes, and most of them were no good, like DVD player remotes and stuff. But you look through that drawer and you find any like vintage looking remote for a stereo unit, they're usually worth some pretty good money.
Right, because people lost them or they broke, right, and they want that remote.
And like a lot of the times, like, so the receiver I have in my living room, I have a different remote that I use for it, but I had to have the old remote to program the new remote. So you got to have it either way.
Yeah. Okay.
And good tip. Next up, this is a GameShark carabiner. So for those listening and for Wesley, this is a little piece of plastic that plugs into your Game Boy. And then you plug your game into this, and it has all the cheat codes for every Game Boy game built into it. So
that was a big deal back in the day. Cheat codes.
Yeah, that's whenever I was listing this. It blew my mind when I saw what this was worth. This was another thing at the $10 bag sale, so I paid $1 for it. And this little piece of plastic, I'm talking like maybe the size of the palm of my hand. This thing sells for $200.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It's nuts. But whenever we were listing it, Stephanie was like, what's it, cheat codes? What are you talking about? And I was like, you don't remember like up, right, down, left, left, A, B, A, B? And she's like, yeah. No, what are you talking about? And I was like, well, it's all built in here. You ain't got to do all that. You just select the cheat code you want and it puts it in for you.
Man, I mean, it was probably worth it back then. Nowadays, though, like the internet is there, you know?
Yeah.
Like you could find any code you ever wanted, but I'm glad it still sells for that much.
I don't know why, because back then, like, you would have to go and buy a magazine, like a book that had cheat codes in it if you wanted a cheat code. But now you can just Google it. I don't know, I mean, I'm not complaining.
I guess it's just for ease of use. You just plug it in, it's there, instead of having to look it up, remember it.
Right.
I remember having paper and writing down cheat codes that people tell you. You'd be at school and they'd be like, hey, we know this cheat code for Mortal Kombat. And you'd write it down, and sometimes they'd work, sometimes they wouldn't. You know, it's a crazy world thing.
It was always frustrating because you knew the cheat code that didn't work. You were just like one button off, but you can't figure out what that button is.
Yeah, it's because you didn't have a Game Shark carabiner.
That's right. That's right. All right. Your finds. First up, we got some jeans.
Okay. I'm glad you told me because I don't know what we have first up. this is going to come along with the song, Colton.
I can't wait.
Are you ready? You're going to recognize this song. This is a compliment of Grandma, Old Granny, Faye Krim.
Oh,
ready? My voice isn't great right now, but we're going to give it a shot. Oh, the skinniest man I ever did see, he came from Mocha Polka. If I ever did tell you how skinny he was, you'd think I was a joker. One night when all the lights went out and the moon was shining dimly, the bedbugs caught him by the seat of his pants and drug him up the chimney. Oh, me. Oh, my. He nearly lost his breath. He fell through the hole of the seat of his pants and choked himself to death.
Incredible. So, I forgot about that song.
I don't know where she got it from. I think her grandma sang it to her, but grandma has a lot of weird sayings and songs that I don't know where she got it.
One of the best, though. That's one of the best.
So these are Cinch Green Label jeans. I got two pair of these, new with tags, in Smithfield for $3.
Nice.
Yeah, for $3 a piece. You weren't there, so I looked through the jeans. I got them for $3 a piece. They sell for about $50 a piece, so $6 into about $100. The reason I sang the song, though, is because the size on these are probably not easy to find, so I feel like when they do sell, somebody's going to buy both of them. They're size 27-38, so this is a very skinny, tall man.
Absolutely. Goodness gracious. That's wild.
Yep.
Man, I love Cinch jeans are the best. I love selling Levi's, obviously, but I think Cinch probably sells quicker than Levi's.
Well, good to know, because I've never bought a pair, and I've seen them, and I know the allure of them. People always talk about them, but I usually let you do the jeans. So
right, yeah.
I just happened to find them new with tags, and I was like, I can't pass that up.
No, so, not at all. Yeah. That's a great one.
Hopefully they'll sell really soon. And until I got to find the skinniest man I ever did see, though.
Hopefully he'll find you.
Yeah, hope so.
All right. Well, it looks like next up, we got Santa.
Yes, so this is a Jenna find. Like I said, Jenna did really good with the Christmas items in LaGrange and in Smithfield, but tons of stuff for the antique mall. This one here, I'm pretty sure was homemade. It's a wooden cutout painting of Santa. And it stands probably about 5 foot tall.
That's what I was going to say. That's pretty tall.
It's pretty tall. It's a pretty good sized little decoration. And you could put it inside or it could be outside, yard art, whatever. But I saw it in the pictures. And she's like, where do you want me to go? I was like, go to the back. They have tons of Christmas stuff. So she grabbed this and a bunch of other Christmas stuff back there. And she's like, what would you pay for it? Because we didn't know what it was priced at.
Right.
I said, I guess 20 at the most. Come to find out she got it. It was $5.
That's incredible.
So $5, we're going to put that at the antique mall, somewhere around $75 to $100. And, you know, probably closer to 75, but still it's pretty quickie. I think it'll sell pretty quick.
Lovely.
So,
yeah,
buddy.
I think all of their seasonal stuff, they price pretty cheaply because they have so much of it, and B, it's such a short amount of time that they have it in the store. They're just trying to get rid of it.
Right. That's kind of my thought about selling in the antique mall. Like, they seasonal stuff sells so well. But if I overprice it, I don't want to be stuck with it for a year.
Right. Yeah.
So I think if I price it at 75 rather than 100, I got a better shot at getting it gone. It sucks when you got to go after a holiday and take the stuff that was holiday oriented that didn't sell, you know?
Yeah, you know, you're just gonna have to look at that for a whole nother year.
Yeah, a lot of times I'll just donate it.
Yeah, exactly. All right, well, ladies and gentlemen, that means it's time for the
when you buy real low but you sell real high, it's the sell of the week.
So we are looking at a pair of Beats wireless headphones. They are gold. They came with a carrying case, and the carrying case is disgusting looking. It's super dirty, but the headphones were pristine, super clean, worked perfectly. And the week before I found these, I had found another pair, and I got these in LaGrange. And the other pair was like, the case was pristine, and the headphones were just torn apart. So I can't figure out what's going on. Anyway, I paid $4 for these, tested them out. They worked great. Listed them for $80, and they sold within 2 days for $80.
There you go. 2 days. It's a quick one.
Yeah.
Quick turnaround.
Beats always sell pretty quickly. I like it. I like it a lot. And then this next one, I wish you were here for this one, because this is a big one. It's not a find. I've had this for a while, but this is the Fernandez Vertigo electric guitar.
Do I remember this guitar by any chance?
It's red and it's shaped really weird.
Okay. I mean, maybe.
You'll see.
Sold it on Facebook?
No, I sold it on eBay. I had it up on Facebook, though. So you probably saw it on Facebook.
I think I remember seeing a guitar on Facebook.
Yeah. This was my personal guitar. The story for this guitar is I bought a guitar in a pawn shop for $150, played it for like a year, and then traded it to a friend for this guitar that I just sold, and this guitar sold for $450. So I made about $300 on this guitar and got to use it for about 3 or 4 years.
Not bad.
Not
you made
bad
a good
at all.
Trade.
Exactly. And this one was up for, I think, $550 or $600. But it had like 50 watchers. It had been listed for months, and I kept sending out offers of $500. Nobody bit, so I sent out $450, and somebody finally took it.
Right on. Now you got to ship it.
It's already shipped out. It shipped out yesterday, but that's, yeah, shipping a guitar is not fun.
No, I don't imagine.
they're just easily broken, and they're long. I think it cost like $60-something to ship it.
Still not that bad, though.
No, when this was shipping on top, so the customer paid for it, so I can't complain.
Right. There you go.
All right. It is time for your sales. We got, looks like a little Barbie shirt.
It is a little Barbie shirt. That is a vintage Barbie top. It's a body blouse is what it is.
Body blouse.
That one is from the 1960s. This came from that lot I talked about a while back. Uh-huh. Jenna had bought a little suitcase at an estate sale for $30, I think it was.
Uh-huh.
And I think it was actually the one you got all the Levi's stuff from, and you got your Oilers hat stolen.
Oh, really? That long ago?
I'm pretty sure, yeah, because I had it just sitting in the loft for like a year or two.
Okay.
And never touched it. I couldn't figure out what I was going to do with it.
Right.
Like sell it as a lot or whatever. And it just kind of got tucked away and I forgot about it. But we had gone through it a while back. Google Lens was a huge help using going through all this stuff. But I think she paid $30 for the box. Tons and tons of dolls, tons and tons of clothes. We're going to like, I don't know, times our money by like 20 on all this stuff. But this one little body blouse just sold for $45.
Incredible.
And you could put it in an envelope if you wanted to.
That's what I was going to say. I bet that's the best thing in the world to ship.
It's super duper light. Now I wouldn't put it in an envelope because I'm a good seller,
right,
and I care about my customer.
Absolutely.
So it's at least going first class, which tracking.
Yeah, especially for $45.
Yeah, exactly. Like I wouldn't even mind doing a priority if they asked, you know.
Right.
But yeah, first class you're usually going to be okay. So just not having the insurance.
Lovely. That's a good one.
Yeah.
All right, next up, we got a bunch of stuff.
Okay, so in that picture, it is the antique record cabinet.
That right there.
This is on the sales for multiple reasons. For one, it's at the antique mall, and anytime I have a decent sale at the antique mall is a good day.
Right.
Because I sell smalls a lot. When I sell something big, I'm very happy.
Uh-huh.
This sold the other day for $100, not crazy, but I got it in a buyout. I believe I paid $300 for the buyout, and I've easily made my money back for that buyout. So this is pure profit.
All right.
It's an old antique record cabinet. It doesn't work. It's more of a decorative piece,
mm-hmm. And
it wasn't in great, great shape, you know. So it's been there for a while. I kept lowering the price. Because I really wanted it gone, and now that it's gone, I'm very, very happy about that. So it is in the sales.
Lovely. That's a good one. I like to hear it. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that means it is time for the...
Hey, too much. Man, that sucks. Dang, it's a double win.
So I told you we were going to talk about Poshmark.
Yep.
It is in the duds.
I thought we were saving it for like another episode.
Oh, no. It's in the duds, let me tell you. So,
okay.
What is on the screen right now is a vintage Michael Gerald sweater that is new with tags. I think I got this at that estate sale I kept going back to in Giddings where I got vintage G.I. Joe and a whole bunch of vintage clothing. This is not necessarily a dud. I just made money on it. It sold. I paid less than $1 for it. It sold for $30. But the reason it is a dud is because it sold for $30 on eBay, for $30 on Poshmark, for $30 on Mercari, all within an hour.
The same person?
No, three different people.
That's really weird.
Yeah. So, I'd been keeping up pretty good with all of my cross postings, and when something sold, I would take it down. But this sold on a Saturday, and it sold three times within an hour. So I didn't see the email till that evening, and there was just nothing I could do about it. So the funny thing is, on Mercari, the person that purchased it messaged me and said, "Hey, I saw you have this listed on a couple other places too. I'm just letting you know that way you can take it down." And I messaged them back and I was like, "You are correct, but you are a little late to the game. It has already sold three different times, and I didn't figure out who bought it first. I just sent it to the person that bought it on eBay because I'm not getting a defect on eBay."
Right. Good call.
The person that bought it on Poshmark was very, very unhappy, so I'm probably going to get a bad review off of that one, but we shall see.
What kind of shirt is this?
It's a sweater, and it's got like some weird, funky geometric designs. It's a black sweater, and it's got gold and maroon and blue and purple. It's a funky looking sweater.
Very, very 90s. It sounds like.
Yeah. Like a Cosby sweater.
Yeah, like a Coogee. How long have you had this online?
It's been up for a while. I mean, I went to that estate sale at least 6 months ago, if not longer. So it's probably been up a few months at least.
That is, you think that's a coincidence that it sold? That is really weird.
Yeah, I'm either thinking like somebody saw that it was cross-posted and under three different names on three different websites was like, "I'm going to teach this person a lesson." Or it just happened to be that, and like the person on Mercari messaged me, told me they saw it elsewhere and told me take it down since I bought it. And then the person on Poshmark, I sent them a message letting them know what happened and that I had to cancel their order and refund them. And they message back saying, I saw that you had it posted on multiple places, and I know I'm the one that bought it first. I was like, oh, well. Whatever you say.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, well.
I don't know. I think what I'm going to end up doing is taking everything down off of Mercari, and I'm just going to have Poshmark and eBay, and I'm probably even going to not cross-post stuff. I'm just going to have what I know is good on Poshmark, and what I know is good on eBay on eBay.
Right. I haven't crossed. I just started the Poshmark.
Right.
And I listed 10 items, and none of them are eBay items. They're specifically just on Poshmark because I don't want to run into that problem.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm going to let this ride a little bit longer before I give you my thoughts on Poshmark. I'll save it for the next episode.
Okay, deal. Yeah, no, it's going to work out good because Stephanie's been buying a lot of women's clothes, and they're not anything special necessarily. It's just nice women's clothes. So I think that that'll be good for Poshmark because that doesn't do that well on eBay.
That's kind of what I'm thinking, you know, like we're missing a whole big group of things that could make money.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not really like giant items, and it's not really something we're really into. But, you know, we do like make money. So.
Yeah, exactly. I'm into that. All so, right. Yeah. Well, that's my dud. I still made money on it, but I made some people angry. So that's why it's in my duds today.
Gotcha.
Your dud.
All right. So I talked about this last week, and I don't know if I put it in a find or a sale.
I think it was in finds.
It might have been because I talked about Jenna throwing it in a donate box, and I was like, "You can't throw away a Bose." And, so I listed the Bose Wave Radio for 4 parts,
uh-huh.
And I listed it for $40 or for $50, I think.
Okay.
Somebody, I got an offer right away for like 30 or 35, and I was like, nah, it's too soon. You know, it's, when you get those offers that quick, like, somebody going to buy it.
Right.
Well, like a day later, somebody offered me 40, and I was like, I was hoping to get closer to 50, but I like having sales, so yeah. And it doesn't work. I didn't pay for it, you know?
Right.
Like, it's just, I think I got it in a clean out. We had used it for 2 years, and then it just quit working. So I was like, yeah, $40 sounds good. Well, so I sell it for 40. I ship it. I do free shipping. So it cost me, I don't know, $12 to ship it.
Uh-huh.
And the guy gets it, and I get a return request.
What?
Yeah, and I'm like, all right. Obviously, this guy didn't read that it was for parts, right?
Right.
So I go and look up the reason for the return request. And it's awful, awfully written English. Like, and I'm not saying that's a bad thing. Like, if you don't speak good English, that is what it is.
Right.
But usually when that is, usually you see that and it's some sort of scam, right?
Yeah.
So I'm a little dubious. And it says, see pics. So I look at the pics and he says that the display screen bezel is missing and he needs that to fix it. And I'm like, all right, well, it was on there. I texted him or I messaged him. It was on there when I shipped it.
Right.
I took it, the whole machine, took it, wrapped it in bubbles. So if it was on there when I wrapped it, it didn't go anywhere.
Right.
Unless it fell off inside the bubble, which then it's still in the box.
Uh-huh.
So I messaged him like, hey, it was on there when I shipped it. And if it ain't on there now, it's in the box.
Right.
And he's like, I looked everywhere. It's not in there. Also in very, very broken English.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, all right, well, you know, he's still asking for the return. Right. And he's got pictures of it next to the box without the bezel on it.
Uh-huh.
So I look up his eBay and I'm thinking, surely this guy's got like no reviews or bad reviews. Well, he's got a ton of Bose Wave radios for sale. And his feedback is great.
Really?
It's like really, really good as a buyer and a seller. And I'm like, I didn't expect that at all.
Right.
You know? So then it made me second guess. Like, I know that was on there.
Uh-huh.
Like, did somehow it fall off? So, I mean, I've looked upstairs. It didn't fall off.
Right.
But I'm still curious because even in his feedback and things, like, everything's written very eloquently and nice. There's no awful, terrible English, so that's throwing me off, you know? Yeah. And I see that he sells refurbished Bose Wave radios, and if I sent him one and he took that off to fix another one and gets his money back for this one, like, that's a great scam.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And the worst part is as a seller, I don't think you can really leave feedback for that.
No. And eBay doesn't, you know, protect their sellers like they should. I will say that.
Uh-huh.
And because he has those pictures, I can do whatever I want. I can call eBay and say, it was on there when I shipped it.
Right.
Look at the pictures when I posted it. It doesn't matter. He's going to win the case. So right before this podcast, I went ahead and refunded him the money, even though I feel like I just got scammed, you know.
Right.
But it is what it is. That's just sometimes that's just the way it works, and you're going to lose. Like,
yeah,
they always, you know, they always win.
That sucks. Yeah, sometimes, like, I'll get some kind of scammy thing like that, and I'll look at the profile, and it'll have really good reviews, and it'll have, like, as a seller and as a buyer, and that usually means that that person's account was hacked. But with this person selling Wave radios and buying a Wave radio from you, that's got to be the right person.
Right. I would assume so. I just don't know. Like, it just, not all of it adds up.
Right.
But, you know, what are you going to do? I'm not going to fight it and waste a bunch of time over my $40. You know, I'm just going to give them their money back and move on.
Yeah. I mean, I guess technically you're really only out $12 for shipping it because you got it for free, but it's the heartache.
Like I said, my wife used it for years in the kitchen listening to her talk radio in the morning, so we've got our $12 of money out of it. It's all good. It's still a debt, though.
Yep. Those are the ones that hurt the most.
Yep.
Alrighty. Well, you got anything else you want to talk about? This is a long one today.
It is a long one. It's kind of weird. Why are we talking more when we're not together?
Yeah, I know. It's strange. It's strange.
I think my estate sales segment went pretty long.
Yeah, I had to go find a phone charger, so you vamp for a little bit, too. So we filled some time. Yeah.
So how long are you guys going to be gone for?
We are leaving Friday, and the plan as of right now is to come back not this Monday, but the next Monday. But we don't really have anything we have to be back for, so we may wander a little bit longer. We'll see.
Okay, so just heads up to the listeners. There may or may not be a next week podcast. We can try to do something over the phone, possibly.
Right.
Or, you know, you could record some stuff on your journeys.
Uh-huh.
We could throw that together. I don't know. Whatever you want to do, we'll try to come up with something. If not, maybe I'll interview somebody and just have you upload it for me or something.
Deal. Yeah, I'll leave the podcast set up and some instructions. That way, if we decide or figure out how to do something, we can do it. And if not, y'all have a happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I'll try to do something for the peoples.
Deal. All right. Well, with that being said, I hope you feel better soon, and I miss you being here, but I'm glad I'm not getting sick right now.
Yep, this is better. It's just better this way.
All right, ladies and gentlemen.
Let me tell you, this Volkswagen leather seat that's heated is pretty comfortable for an hour.
Come on. I'm in a free rolling chair that you got from some estate sale somewhere, and I'm jealous right now.
Oh, man.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank y'all so much for tuning in. You can find my store on eBay at Fierce Inc. You can find Wes's at
Wes Rankin 0420.
You can find us on Facebook and Instagram at The Resell Brothers. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see y'all next week.
And buy low, sell high, y'all.
Amen.